Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and as you know, real quick, this is not Pastor Al Davis. This is Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church. Brother Al is over at the Summit County Fair, working the fair today, and we are waiting for him to call in. But it is a blessing to be back with you here for this second half hour, and as soon as Brother Al calls in, we'll get him tied in. He wanted somebody here just in case the phone didn't work right. And so maybe he's tied up with somebody talking to him about the Lord. So we'll hopefully hear from him in just a few moments. But we'll go ahead and go back in our study until he comes up with us. We were in the last half hour talking about 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2. We were talking about the things of the Spirit of God. And that is in verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." And so we were spending some time going through that and talking about the first thing that is impossible for the natural man to receive, and that would be spiritual power. And there's five things, really, that Paul talks about in this passage: spiritual power, spiritual wisdom, spiritual revelation, spiritual discernment, and spiritual judgment. And, you know, it's real easy to get enamored with orators, people who know how to speak, people who can tell great illustrations and stories and jokes. And, you know, while those things are all fine and good, those are not indications necessarily of spirituality. I mean, even the world, unsaved people have, you know, great orators. They have great storytellers, and they have great lecturers, and they have great comedians, and all of those things. And so those are not necessarily marks of that spirituality. But anyway, we started a study in that about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and went through some spiritual power. We talked about how we cannot receive that power but by the Holy Ghost. And we went through Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And so we were showing the fact that the power is the catalyst, really, is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Now, I always use Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I understand the context of the verse. You know, faith, the substance of things hoped for. Our hope, our promise is found through faith. We know we have those promises through faith. And then the evidence, of course, there's a reflection, there's works. And so I always look at that. But I always like to remind people there's a substance to our faith, which is the Word of God, and there is a spirit or an evidence to our faith, which is the Spirit of God. Well, we have a guest joining us. The host of this show usually is Pastor Al Davis. Pastor Al, thanks for being with us.
Well, hello, Brother Lutz.
Hello.
Have you on.
Hey, I just want to start the show up this way. I was talking with Eric in between, and last week I let people know a little secret about you, that you seem to have dark clouds all around you. And I heard what you said, that it wasn't until you pulled in here. But my show, it was bright as can be. And right when I finished it, I went over to Eric. I said, "You look, those are dark clouds forming over there." So we knew Brother Al was coming back on. So beware, brother, you might have a storm coming your way.
I just want people to know that as I came up to the studio, it wasn't bad last week. But as I got closer to where you were, the dark clouds were forming.
Yeah, I heard. So how's it going down there at the fair?
We are doing well, thankfully. It's not blistering hot like it was last year.
Yeah.
We have a booth for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We've been out here the last several years. And we're right near the entrance, the main entrance to the fair. When you come in for parking, there's a main entrance, and there's like strip buildings on either side as you walk in.
Yeah.
And we're about midway down, just past the Right to Life of Northeast Ohio booth. We're, I think, the second booth after them.
Okay.
Yeah, on the right. So fortunately, we're on the right. But
that was strategic. They put you there.
Yeah. So it's been good. And we've had a number of people to chat with and talk with and share the gospel with. And we don't really try, you know, to force a 1, 2, 3, pray with me type of a response out of people, because, you know, a lot of people, they're just not ready for that yet. It's unfortunate we live in such a biblically illiterate day today that oftentimes, you know, you've got to establish the fact that God exists and that the Bible is His word before you go any further.
Yeah.
And I know you've probably seen some of that yourself talking with people. There was a day when, you know, most people that you talked to had a belief in God and an acceptance that the Bible was God's word.
Yeah.
And now today, we really don't get that all the time.
No, there's such a pluralistic type of mentality that everybody has their own thing, and it doesn't even often include a Bible or church or sometimes even God, you know. So is that to kind of get a sense of who's stopping by and visiting? I mean, what is that what you're kind of seeing in people? Is you're really wanting to start somewhere, but really have to start 10 steps back further?
Yeah, and we do get a variety of people. Some people are familiar with the three-door display. Several ministries and groups use it,
yeah.
And we've kind of adapted it for our church booth, the three-door thing being three things God cannot do, and I won't go into all of it right at the moment, but the first one is God cannot lie, and you know, that right there alone offends a surprising number of people. The statement that God can't lie. I've had people actually get mad over that.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want to get mad over that, but some people do.
Yeah.
And the next thing is God can't change. And you know, the problem is lying is a form of sin. In Revelation 21, I think it's verse 8, it talks about a variety of sinful conditions or types, you know, murders and things like that. And it includes liars cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how many lies does it take to become a liar? You only have to kill one person to be a murderer. So,
hey, Brother Al, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
When you talk to people about lying, does this, I don't know if this ever happened to you. We have a festival we do in September, and mm-hmm. we tend to really project the law, you know, and just try to get people to think about that. But I don't know if this happened to you, but you ask somebody, you know, have you ever told any lies? And they say, well, yeah, of course. And then you say, well, what do you call yourself? And almost all of them, they say, oh, I'm a sinner. And I'm thinking, if somebody came up and told you a lie, you're not going to look at them and say, oh, you're a sinner. You're going to call them a liar. But it shows that human nature, that pride that we don't want to accept the fact about our own sinful condition that every man is a liar.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I tell people, I'll say, well, look, the first one behind this door here, you know, because they'll try to figure out, well, what is, God can do everything, can he? I thought he's all powerful. He can do anything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I guarantee you, the first thing here is something that you, me, and everybody you've ever met in your life and ever will meet can do. And the moment somebody tells you they don't do it, you know they're doing it.
That is true.
It gets them thinking, you know. The Bible said, come now, let us reason together. I think God put that there for a reason.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
You know, you start thinking, and I like it because everybody knows that we've lied.
Yeah, and that's a pretty easy one to get people to admit.
Yeah.
Everybody's
lied. Everybody knows it, and everybody knows that the moment that they say that they've not lied, they know they're telling one of the biggest ones.
That is true, and that goes along with 1 John. So, all right, so we got the first door is God cannot lie. We got the second door, God cannot change. We got one more door.
Right.
What's that?
Well, and I was going to say, you know, God can't let us into heaven because we're sinners. And it says in Revelation 21:8 that all liars, you know, are cast into the lake of fire. So I said, so somebody's got to change, and God's not going to change.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
So it's got to be us.
Yeah.
It's got to be us. God can't change, so it's got to be us. That brings us to the third door where Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot, cannot enter into the kingdom
cannot
of heaven.
Cannot see, yeah. And he cannot see the kingdom of God, yeah.
Yeah, and so as a consequence, you know, God's got to change us because we can't change ourselves, and he can't let us into heaven unless we're changed. And that's what born again means. You know, we were born once, and, you know, people who are standing there talking with me, they're obviously they've been born because there they are. Or they're not even talking to me.
Yeah.
So they need that second birth, that spiritual birth.
Yeah, and that's, I was just talking about that in the last half hour. I was doing a study in 1 Corinthians where it says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And that was the first thing he talks about is I've not come, my speech and my preaching has not been, you know, with enticing words and those things, he said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. And we kind of did a word study through the word power and taking it right through that, you know, we can only be born again by the power of God. And this is where, you know, religion kind of hits the wall because it tries to produce a righteous power that man cannot produce because in our natural state, you know, we're separated from God. Our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God, and we have no hope without that new birth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we kind of were going through a little bit about, you know, the children of God. And, you know, I know you've run into this. Maybe you want to talk about this a little bit. Is there's such a perception that because of religion and religious upbringings that, well, we're all just the children of God. And it really tries to negate that whole new birth. So what would you say to somebody that says, well, hey, listen, we're all the children of God here?
Well, I would say, well, yeah, God created us. That's true. But he also created us with a free will. And that's where you get back to the first man, you know, Adam. You know, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. We just have an announcement over for the PA standing here.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one of the things of standing out in the parking lot here trying to talk from the fairgrounds. Yeah. And it's a reminder, we are out at the fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Out
yeah.
here till 6 o'clock tonight. It's the Summit County Fairgrounds in Talmadge, Ohio. And I'll be out here all day tomorrow, and then some people from our church will be out here later tonight as well as all day Sunday. But talking about, you know, we're all the children of God, I say, well, yeah, God did create us. We're the unique creation of God, but he created us to have a relationship with him, but because he gave us the free will, you know, to choose, you know, right from wrong, Adam chose wrong. And he sinned, he disobeyed God, and by one man sinning into the world and death by sin, so we've inherited that sin nature. So, yeah, though we may be, if you want to use the term, children of God in that he created us, we still have to deal with that sin nature that we inherited from Adam. And that's why Jesus came into the world, because, you know, you come back to the principle that sinners cannot enter into heaven.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, heaven would be just like it is here on earth, full of sinners.
Right.
And so God's got to change us. And he gives us a choice. And he even came into the world in the form of Christ, God manifest in the flesh.
Yeah.
And he died on the cross and shed his blood so that we can be changed.
Yeah. So, and this is really where faith comes in. And is this not, this is the spiritual birth, because it's many people go through life, and I know I was this way before I got saved, was when you start striving with the Word of God and somebody presents to you that you need to be born again, but you don't necessarily understand the concept. And we all, like Nicodemus, they're like, well, what do you mean? I have to go back in my mother's womb and be born? I mean, we may not say those words, but we wrestle with the concept the same way of like, what in the world? I can't understand that, because it doesn't fit in the framework of the natural man. It doesn't, I can't comprehend that. And that's so often people stop pursuing truth because they can't see it. And ultimately they're never born again because they never exercise biblical faith, or they try to start with the effect of faith being the work side of it rather than the actual birth side of it, which can only happen by a spiritual faith or a spiritual birth.
Right. And that's where the Holy Spirit moves on the heart of the unbeliever. And it's why we ought to pray for unsaved people, that God would move on their heart and give them, you know, knowledge and understanding of the truth. While you were talking about that, I was thinking of two young ladies that stopped by on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and the one in particular admitted she doesn't go to church, doesn't know much about the Bible, and she wants to study biology in college. And so we were talking, and she said, I just can't believe the Bible. There's just too much in there that's just too hard to believe. And she's kind of expressing what you're saying there.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, God makes it reasonable to believe. In fact, it's more reasonable to believe than to not believe.
Yeah.
And she was saying, but, you know, I want to be able to see things and test things. So I asked her, I said, did you stop at every bridge you crossed over on the way here today to check the bridge out to make sure it was okay?
Yeah.
She said, no. And I said, well, see, you exercised faith, because it was reasonable to assume that the bridge was made to standards that would support your car as you drove in, and that you could pass safely over it. You've probably been over it before, seen other cars go over it. So it made sense to exercise faith in that bridge. And I said, God does the same thing with the Bible. And we went through some scientific evidences in the Bible that make it reasonable. And there's other things, of course, historical and many things, but
yeah.
God puts it all together. So when he says, let us reason together, we can see some of this and say, you know what? If he's accurate in these things, then it's reasonable to believe that he's accurate when he says you must be born again.
Yeah.
And it all ties back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, that is the pivot right there. I mean, that is the hinge that is the most important hinge between heaven and hell is the new birth. And you know, espousing that. And the sad part is, and I know you probably do, and probably many preachers in our ranks, but, you know, how much preaching have you heard on the new birth in the last 5 years? You know, it's amazing. I know we all do soul winning and those type of things, but it's something that I think, and I try to do a good job of keeping it in front of our people, because you never know who's there. And but really, that is the most important issue. Really, nothing else matters until you get mm-hmm. through that. And that's what the barrier of, you know, all these religions have been created and all these things, really trying to keep people from getting mm-hmm. to that moment of truth.
Right.
Of repentance and belief, you know, those that double-sided coin. I think it's a simultaneous thing. That I mean, there has to be an exercising of belief, which is faith, and there, but you're also acknowledging the truth, which is saying I'm agreeing with God, and I'm going to place my faith and trust in the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, and confess Him. And you know, it's just there's so much of this self-help stuff. There's so much that goes on how we can do this, how-to sermons, you know, how to do this, mm-hmm. how to do this. And we just need to keep preaching how to be born again, you know?
Right. And, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we can deal with the objections, deal with the questions. And, yeah, you're right. We need to keep coming back to that, because, you know, anything else is just winning arguments.
Yeah. And I think there has been a good... unfortunately, not necessarily among our ranks, but I know I have seen, and I don't know if it has something to do with just the environment. We've talked off microphone as well many times about how much we enjoy and feel the oppression of religious liberty has tremendously been lifted since the new administration has taken over. And it really has emboldened a lot of people to really get out there and really start examining what they believe, but they're being very provocative in really twisting the screws a little bit harder of making and confronting people about that. And I keep telling our people, that's what we need to do. This isn't the time to sit down and kind of take a breath and say, "Whoo!" This is a time to say, wow, we got an opportunity here to really exercise our liberties in ways we've maybe have been restricted or felt oppressed. And to really get out there and talk to people and share the gospel and get back to the center of the gospel rather than a lot of the peripheral things that are going on.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The time that we have now it's not the time to sit back and rest and say, look what happened. You know, our prayers have been answered. Now it's time to take advantage. You know, God gave us this window for a reason, not to sit back and coast.
Yeah.
You know, the time for rest is not now.
Right.
We need to take advantage. And that's one of the reasons we come out here to the Summit County Fair with our church, because it's an open door. We have an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was talking with somebody yesterday who was saved, even went to a good independent Baptist church, King James Bible, believing in everything. And I said, you know, one of the things that I do when I talk to people is I'm aware that there's other people passing by or in the other booths that are listening.
Yeah.
And they hear that. And it's a, I guess in a way, it's almost like a stealth witness. You're witnessing to people who you know are listening. But they won't come up and ask you questions, but you know they're listening.
Well, we have a gentleman in our church I love dearly, and we go out soul winning and visiting all the time. And I was just joking with him about that. I said, I know when we're talking, and then he goes into his full gospel presentation. Well, it's just him and I. I know he knows somebody's listening, so he goes through the whole thing. And I thought, well, that's great. And, you know, so it is so true. Is any type of open air evangelism is not so much, I mean, it's not necessarily the person in front of you, although you're concerned about it. It's, you don't know who's listening.
Yeah. I'll do that in a restaurant sometimes. You'll be talking to somebody, you know, somebody's listening. I think where I first really, it really hit me with that was when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. I had a couple of occasions where some Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists would challenge me on stuff. And so I would be talking to them, knowing full well that I might not get very far with them, but there would be a crowd of people listening.
Yeah, sure.
And so, and then I also used that when the Jehovah's Witnesses would knock on the door, because even though the senior one would take the lead and try to steer the conversation, I would ask questions and everything for the main purpose, especially when there was like a trainee with them.
Yeah.
So that put thoughts in their head, you know, put questions in their head. Let the Holy Spirit have something that they can work with, where they can begin to, you know, plant a seed and it can get watered and begin to grow, hopefully.
Yeah. And that's really what ministry is all about, too, is really, like we talked about earlier when we first started, was come let us reason together, is getting people to think. And the worst thing you could ever do is just blindly take somebody's word for it other than the scriptures. Of course, we know, because we know God cannot lie, we can rely on the scriptures. But really, there's such a blindness. And again, it goes back to religious practices. You know, Jesus talked about the traditions of the elders and, you know, why do they transgress the commandments of man and that whole thing. And so it really is getting people to start thinking about that. Well, Brother Al, I don't know if you want to finish up. We got about 2 minutes left here. So are you having your Friday night Bible study tonight?
Yes, we are. And I'm glad you told me the time, because I don't have any time in front of me right now. Yes, we're having our Friday night Bible study at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. That's right off from Interstate 77 at the Ohio Turnpike in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. That information will be coming up here at the end of the program. And then we are going to be there on Sunday, and I need to mention, too, the room that we meet in is being renovated. So we're going to meet in the breakfast area today, tonight, and also on Sunday, which means we will not have our 10 o'clock Bible study on Sunday morning, but we will start at 11 o'clock for our regular morning service, and then also at 6 o'clock also there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. So pray for us. They're renovating the meeting room, so hopefully it won't take long to get that done.
Well, I mean, goodness, you're in the breakfast room, so it got better for you, right?
Well, we've already got the coffee. Maybe they'll send the breakfast for us. I mean, I don't know. Bible and a bagel? Does that sound
good? Yeah, there you go. That sounds good.
The Hebrews, the coffee, and so we're all set. Biblical.
Well, that's good. Well, God bless you, Brother Al, and thanks for being out there.
Thank you for being there, John. Appreciate it.
All right, God bless. Thanks for listening. Get out and see Brother Al. He's on Sunday night as well at 11 o'clock, so listen to him then. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.